Mark chapter 10 this morning. We'll be concluding chapter 10. And next week, moving into the triumphal entry, Jesus' entry into Jerusalem and into the last week before his crucifixion. But for this morning, we are in Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through to the end, verse 52. And they came to Jericho. And as Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he's calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are often slow to come to your word with open ears, with open eyes. So, Spirit, we pray that you would unstop our ears and open our eyes to see and to hear clearly the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us come to this story expecting to hear you speak, for this is your word. Give us humble hearts that will trust and believe, because you are true and you always speak the truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this is a story somewhat like some of the others, some of the other healing stories that we've read about Jesus in Mark's gospel. We have Jesus passing through a town. In this case, he's coming to Jericho. And as always, there are people that are sort of gathered around that want to see Jesus. Maybe they want to touch him, get near to him, talk to him, perhaps have them heal him or listen to him speak. And there's a man named Bartimaeus who is blind, a blind beggar, which means that because of his affliction, because of the fact that he's blind, he's not able to work, he's not able to provide for himself, and so he lives off of the kindness of others. He eats because of the generosity of others. And so he hears that Jesus of Nazareth is making his way by. And, you know, as we've gone through Mark, Jesus' fame has sort of grown and grown and grown, and word is starting to spread about him throughout the whole region. And so Bartimaeus has already heard of Jesus. He's already heard some of the amazing things that he's done. He's heard reports about people who have been healed simply by Jesus touching them or by Jesus speaking to them in other places. And so he says, I need to talk to Jesus. And so Jesus is passing by, and likely there's a crowd sort of shuffling along with him, and Bartimaeus is off to the side somewhere, sitting by the roadside, hoping that someone will be kind to him, and he hears that Jesus is passing by, and he calls out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And the people start shushing him, right? They start telling him to be quiet, you know? "He doesn't have time for you. Be quiet. He has more important things to do. Just be quiet and stop it." And so he calls out all the more. It's like he's indignant, right? People are telling him to stop, and that makes him do it even louder, right? "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stops, and he hears him. And he says, "Call to him." And so they say, "Okay, he wants to talk to you, so get up." So the man comes over, and Jesus asks him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus says, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And he recovers his sight, and he begins to follow Jesus. Okay, so what's happening here? Jesus says this thing that he says during a number of his healings. He says, "Your faith has made you well." And so this is something we need to talk about. How do faith and healing go together? Because to hear Jesus say, "Your faith has made you well," it would be very easy to sort of come away from something like this and to say, well, what Jesus is saying to us is that if we're sick with anything, if there's anything wrong with us, if we just have enough faith, he will heal us, no questions asked. And so we're going to talk about this morning because it does not quite seem to be the witness of the New Testament as a whole. And so let's go to another place where there is a man of great faith who is beset by some sort of thing that's bothering him. Okay, he refers to it as a thorn in his flesh. We're gonna go and we're gonna read 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to read verses 7 through 9. This is the Apostle Paul. And he has just spent a little bit of time talking about some of the great things that God has done for him, some of the amazing things that he has experienced through the Holy Spirit's work in his life. But now he's going to talk about something else. He's saying, yeah, all of these great things have happened to me, but there is this great weakness in my life as well. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to read verses 7 through 9. "So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me.'" Okay. So the Apostle Paul talks about these amazing gifts. He talks about being caught up into heaven with a vision that the Lord has done amazing things for him, right? But he says, "In order to keep me humble, I received this thorn in the flesh, a messenger from Satan." Now, he's not clear here what it is that he's talking about, what it was that was happening to him. And there have been all sorts of ideas about what's going on, okay? That he was overcome with reminders about his sin. He was imprisoning and murdering Christians before he became one himself. Okay, that he can't get over his guilt and shame of what he had done before. That's the sort of thing that the devil does. Okay, that would make sense of the messenger of Satan part of it. Other people have suggested that it's temptations to certain sins that he simply couldn't shake over the course of his life. Others have suggested that it's something physical, some sort of severe physical ailment that was plaguing Paul throughout much of his life. He writes in other places about how when he was staying with certain churches, that if they could have, they would have plucked out their own eyes and given them to him. In other places, he writes a greeting at the end of a letter in his own writing, and he says, "See with what large letters I am writing in my own hand," all of which suggests that perhaps he had very, very poor eyesight, was perhaps maybe even near blind, but it's all just conjecture. The point is, there was something that was troubling Paul greatly. Either it was some affliction in spirit or in his body, okay? Something that was plaguing him. And he says that he pleaded with the Lord three times to take it away from him. Clearly, he believes that the Lord is able to deliver him, that the Lord has the power to do it. Clearly, he has the same kind of faith that Bartimaeus is coming to Jesus with here in this passage. And yet the Lord's answer to Paul is no, and his answer to Bartimaeus is yes. To Paul, he says, "In your weakness, I will be your strength." So the answer is no. And to Bartimaeus, he says, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." Okay, so, will you always be healed of the things that afflict you if you have faith? At least in this life, will you always be healed of the things that afflict you if you have faith? And the answer is clearly no. Now, the Lord shows kindness to his children, and the Lord is able to heal. And sometimes he does. I believe that sometimes the Lord heals miraculously. Okay? So if there is occasion that you might need to or desire to pray for a miracle, that's a good thing to pray for. Okay? Don't hear me discouraging you from doing that. I'm not. But sometimes we will convince ourselves that if we believe enough, that we will be healed, that this is a promise that Jesus makes to us. And what ends up happening, and I've seen it in friends of mine who believe this way, is that if we are not healed, not only do then we continue dealing with whatever thing it is that's happening to us, but then on top of that, we're sort of saddled with this crushing guilt, believing that it's our fault. That I not only do I still have it, but I still have it because I don't believe enough, because there is something wrong with me. And it doesn't work that way. And for all of the power and goodness that there is in Jesus, in his ability to heal, sometimes, like it was for the Apostle Paul, sometimes the answer of God is no. And in your weakness, I will be strong. And there is no need to carry around this guilt. When there is enough difficulty already dealing with the anxiety and the various physical afflictions that come about in this life, there is difficulty enough dealing with that besides heaping on all of this needless and wrong guilt from the idea that you keep it because you do not believe enough. Okay? Let those lies go. And this leads to, you can guess how I'm going to address this next question, which leads to the sort of the phenomenon of faith healers, right? And it usually goes along the same lines. Either if you have faith, if you believe, then God will heal and he'll heal you through me. Or if you give a little bit to our ministry, or perhaps a little bit to our ministry, then God will heal you through me. It's always amazing, or I suppose not so amazing to me, that the folks who claim these sorts of gifts from God, that they exercise them in great, you know, gatherings where people have perhaps paid to be there, or at least making major donations while they're there, instead of simply, you know, going down the aisles and the hallways of the local hospital. It's interesting to me that that's the way that it seems to work. But anyway, a lot of these people end up on TV. You're always welcome to change the channel or turn it off. Those are always fine options. I want us to be clear, okay? It's an amazing thing that Jesus says to Bartimaeus that he believes and is made well. And we're going to talk about that just a little bit later, okay? But I want us to be clear about this, that possessing faith does not mean that you will always be healed of the things that ail you. And that ought to be clear to us. Otherwise, Christians would never die. Right? Or it would mean something much, much worse, that all Christians do eventually die, which must mean that they no longer have faith since they died. Okay? So this whole, you know, faith and healing, and if you have faith, you will necessarily be healed. Just hear those things for the lies that they are whenever they're out there and let them go. Okay? Now, notice this. Bartimaeus comes to Jesus, and Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? And he says, Lord, I want to recover my sight. And Jesus responds positively to this. Now, we might think that this seems a little bit impious coming from Bartimaeus coming to Jesus, right? Because Jesus has made the point before that while our need for physical healing is great, what lies behind all of it is our need to be set right with God, is our need for forgiveness, right? And so it would seem to us that the perhaps theologically most correct answer for Bartimaeus when he comes to Jesus, if Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? Bartimaeus should say, I want you to forgive my sins. And then maybe later, since you forgave my sins, could you also maybe give me my sight back? But what he says is, I want to recover my sight. So notice this, that the desire for what is broken to be fixed, the desire to see what has gone wrong in this world because of the fall and because of sin, the desire to see what is broken to be fixed is good. It's good. Bartimaeus comes and Jesus asks him what he wants, and he says, I want you to fix my sight. And Jesus responds positively, and he says, your faith has made you well. Go your way. Now, if the man has faith, which Jesus certainly says that he does, his sins are forgiven as well, right? Here the two go together, and they go together right here at this moment. And see here once again what we have seen all throughout the ministry of Jesus, that his ministry of word and his ministry of deed go together. That Jesus doesn't drive a wedge between the two of them. That his work is to preach the gospel, and all of this other healing business can just be left for everybody else. Caring for the needs of the poor and the sick and so on and so forth, that's very different from this gospel work that Jesus is doing. Again, see here the necessity of ministry of word and of deed going together. And this is precisely the point that James makes in chapter 2 of his letter. James chapter 2, we're going to read verses 14 through 17. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Okay. Again, see that the person who did this perfectly was Jesus. That he believed in his Father, he trusted his Father, that he told everybody the message that his Father sent him to give, and he meets the poor, he meets the hungry, he meets the blind, and he meets those needs as well. He ministers to the whole person, to their soul, giving them the gospel, and to their bodies, healing them where he does. And notice, I mean, as the disciples go out and they carry on Jesus' ministry, as the Apostle Paul sets out on his ministry afterwards, having been given that handshake by the other apostles as agreeing with his ministry that he should go to the Gentiles, only that I should remember the poor, the very thing that I was eager to do, that these things go together. Okay? Faith and healing. It's not that we will always be healed miraculously of everything that ails us. It's clear that sometimes the answer is no, but that we understand that these things can and do go together, and that it's not always miraculously. Sometimes it is through the kindness and the generosity of God's people ministering both to spirit and to body. Okay? Without separating them from each other. Faith and healing, but then also notice faith and sight. Faith and sight. It's like Bartimaeus's healing of his eyes goes along with his spiritual condition as he comes to Jesus. He comes asking Jesus to heal him. Jesus says he has faith. He comes, even though he can't see with his physical eyes, he comes with open eyes, able to see and believe in Jesus. And so since that's the case, Jesus opens his eyes so he can see as well. And to believe, for Bartimaeus to come to believe, coming to Jesus and asking for him to heal him, Jesus recognizing his faith, it requires Jesus' intervention for him to believe this, for him to trust Jesus the way that he does, coming to him just as much as it required Jesus' intervention to open his eyes so he could actually see the world around him. As Jesus says, go your way, your faith has made you well. Okay, faith requires the sight that Jesus gives. This is made clear in a couple of places, back in 2 Corinthians 4 and the first six verses. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Okay, notice this. What Paul is saying is that for those who do not believe what it is that he's come to tell them, it's because their love for this world, love for the things that they get, for the prestige that they have, for the sort of, you know, ego stroke that they get from being thought very, very clever and all the rest of it. He says that the God of this world, it has blinded them to the message so that they cannot see the light of Christ. His point is very clear that it's much the same as the way that Bartimaeus' eyes worked, or rather didn't work. that to fail to believe in Jesus is because we are blinded by our own sin, that we cannot see him because we have made ourselves blind. In Acts chapter 26, the Apostle Paul is recounting his own experience, and he says this. This is before Herod Agrippa, and Paul says this. Acts chapter 26, beginning in verse 12. In this connection, I journeyed to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven brighter than the sun that shone around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And I said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles, to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Now, Jesus tells Paul at his conversion that he's sending him to the Gentiles to open their eyes. Now, is it the case that Paul is going and preaching exclusively to people who are physically blind? No. Jesus is telling him something else. That just as Paul says in 2 Corinthians that to fail to believe in Jesus is because we have blinded ourselves by our sin. Jesus is telling Paul that to preach the gospel, to hear the gospel, and to believe it is to have your eyes opened, is to no longer be blind, is for the first time to see the light of Christ. And that what is needed, just as much as Bartimaeus needed the power of God through Jesus to open his eyes so that he could see, what is needed is for each and every person to have the power of God open the eyes of their hearts so that they can see Jesus and believe. And in Jesus healing Bartimaeus, he gives us exactly what that looks like. Jesus speaks and Bartimaeus' eyes open for the first time and he can see Jesus standing in front of him. He can see the world around him. And when anyone believes in Jesus, their eyes are opened for the first time by the power of God, by a miracle, so that they can see Jesus and the world around them for the first time. Those without faith, Paul says, are blind. And blind Bartimaeus comes to Jesus, and Jesus has compassion on him in his blindness. The question is, what is our response to those around us who are blind? Perhaps not physically, but those blind in their hearts, in their spirits, to the truth of Jesus Christ, do we see them as a scourge on our society? Do we see them as infiltrating and perverting influences to be avoided at all costs? Or do we look on them with compassion in their blindness, as Christ did? To have faith is to see, and to see truly. And for any person to have faith requires the intervention of Christ, just as it did for Bartimaeus to have his eyes opened to Jericho that day. Will we have compassion on the blind and offer to them the one thing that will open their eyes? Or do we prefer to avoid? Let's pray. Father, we can only ever know you when you make yourself known to us by opening our eyes. Father, grant us humility, remembering that if our eyes are open, it is only because they have been opened by Christ. Let us come to your table this morning and see him there. Not that this is my table or the church's table or the elders' table and others come to it, but that we are all invited to come to the table of Jesus Christ where he is host. We are all invited guests, and we pray that we would come seeing Christ there. That as we hold and handle the bread and the wine, as we taste it on our lips and on our tongues, that we would taste the goodness of Jesus Christ offered to us in the gospel, having his body broken and blood shed for us. Father, let us come with faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.